Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor, sitting in with Captain Scott Shank.
That's me.
As usual, from 7 to 8 on 1010. That's me. That's me.
I got to tell you a funny story. Can I do that before
we
start?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I had a text today from the Ryan family, and you're going to laugh about this. So anyhow, Mr. Ryan proceeds to tell me that he would like to look at September 11th and book a trip.
Right.
I said, okay. Well, unfortunately, that's the only Friday in September I got a trip.
The whole
stinking freaking month.
Right.
Okay, I mean, it's a long ways out. You know, I don't have that many in there. But anyhow, it just happened to be that right. One day. Well, his 10-year-old son is turning 11. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to do it, hence 9-11.
He gave you plenty of notice.
Gave me way plenty of notice. Right. The only Friday I got booked, and it's got to be on the 11th. So anyhow, so I texted back. I said, man, I am so, so sorry. I said, you know, I can do anything else, but I can't do that. And so anyhow, he says, okay, well, let me see if I can work some things around, and maybe we'll do that Saturday. I said, okay, fine. So he texts me back, and here's where the story's going. So anyhow, he says, my son really has to fish with only you. I said, well, and I text him. I said, why is that? ? He said, that dadgum commercial that me and you did got kids? I love him. He said, ever since my 10-year-old son heard that, he said, there is nobody else that I want to fish with but him.
We may bring that Simrad commercial back here pretty soon. That's a good story.
But anyhow, I'm just telling you, it was just funny. It was a funny text.
Word of advice.
Yeah.
So I don't know how important the other charter was on that Friday.
It was very important.
Oh, it was very important? Okay.
Marcus and Mike.
Okay. All right. All right.
That one can't move.
Okay. All right. Because usually when things like that happen.
Move it around if it wasn't.
Right.
This is Valancourt Construction, and I have to have those days, and they've already booked them.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I get it. I get it.
They send me their schedule.
Money's money.
I hate it too, but it's what, you know, Valancourt's got that day, and I couldn't give that one up.
Yeah. No, I get it. Strange week.
Very much so.
Strange week of fishing. That's all that it's it has been a tough year already.
Agreed.
You know? Mm-hmm. But with that being said, I've had some amazing fishing days, mm-hmm. you know, but I've had to scramble to find bait, to catch bait, to buy bait, mm-hmm. You know, all year I've had to.
I mean, people are fishing, dude. Did you see the boat ramp today?
Yeah,
Thursday?
I know. I've probably fished more days offshore this year than I shouldn't have, mm-hmm. than I did all of last year. And what I'm saying, it's not dangerous. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not taking people out there in dangerous conditions. I'm just saying that I'm becoming a wimp, mm-hmm. and I like to fish on really nice days, you know. But I'm trying to think. Have we had one of those this year?
Not for offshore.
No, I mean where we've turned the corner.
And it's just, you look out there and the sun's rising and it's flat calm.
Yeah, it's flat.
And you go, whoop.
and you catch bait one mm-hmm. cast, and you
dump put half of it back.
Dump half of it back. Yeah. No, we really haven't had any of those days. You know, I know that obviously we were fighting, you know, COVID-19 in April, for the most of us being quarantined. And but even looking back at that, I don't know how many more days I could have done in April.
No.
Because of the weather. Maybe a few inshore trips, mm-hmm. but even those would have been tough due to the weather.
No.
But
no,
April.
100%.
Yeah, I don't even know why we book trips in April anymore. But anyway, with that being said, fishing's been good. The only thing
I don't want to call it tough. You have to work for it, especially in the river.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we always have to work for it. But my point is that this week, you know, we've been able to, I think Tuesday, everybody finally were like, all right, we're going offshore, you know, here we go. You know, it's been blowing, and there's no bait. I mean, when I say there's no bait, there's no pogies.
That's no bait.
Well, I can include cigar minnows.
You can.
And I can include sardines.
Because where have those been the last 2 years?
I don't know. I don't know, because you and I've talked about this. If I had my druthers, I'd much rather pull them around than a pogie.
I would spend, you know, I would spend that 45 minutes going straight to the spot, knowing that they're there, to sit there and jig up 45 or 50 baits.
Absolutely.
Because, dude, you send either or one of those back there, last.
Yeah, if there's a fish around.
It does not last.
So, I ran the beach a long ways north and south the last 2 days, and it's spooky dead. I mean, like, no birds, you know, maybe a bonita busting here and there, but it's dead. I mean, dead. You know, talking to Captain Kirk Waltz out of Mayport, and they're running to Amelia Island, nothing.
Really?
Now, the only reports that I've heard at all, and this was last weekend, was Cumberland Island. I don't think we can run to Cumberland Island, you know, to catch bait. But, so anyway, it could show up tomorrow. You know, conditions look right for it to show up. I would have thought that it would showed up at the worst today.
Mm-hmm. Because between west and southwest,
a little dirty water,
as crystal clear.
But I will tell you this, brother. The swells today were no joke.
Oh, I was at the Jetty Rocks.
No joke. I mean, when...
at least they caught it right. They said 3 to 5 occasional sixes today at 11 seconds.
It was all day 10 to 12 at the inlet. Now, I'm not talking about in the middle of the inlet. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about on the bars.
Oh, 10 to 12 foot?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, the tops were getting blown back.
It was...
And how far out? I mean, on the
past
north
the
bar?
The sea buoy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I was looking out there when I pulled up on the jetties, and I went... Nah. I sat there and looked, and it was like, damn.
And when you were going down the middle in your little boat, and it wasn't rough, it was a little swell, you know, you're going, please, Lord, don't let some rogue wave, because you're looking left.
It was right out of the northeast, too.
Oh, my gosh, dude, it was it was huge.
I could hear it going,
huge.
You could hear him rolling coming in.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. When you hear the bell on a sea buoy in the middle of the day,
that's right.
It's usually not a good thing.
No, it's not. It's not.
That's some big old swells.
And, you know, and then you got complacent because you got away from the inlet,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh, this is great. It's great, you know. A little swell coming in. Fished. Had a good day. Had a very good day. Worked hard for bait and salt run. And I started coming in. I went, let's see. Probably 2 hours of the outgoing tide. So I'm you know, as I'm coming in, I mean, I'm like, all right, am I going to do straight down the gut,
mm-hmm.
or am I going to do the north cut? And I'm telling you, it was pretty coming in. It was beautiful. But as I got closer and closer and closer, I got about the sea buoy, and I went,
guys, sit down.
That's right. Yeah, it's good. We're good. You know, I got you. But you had to stand up on it. I mean, big time.
Any white knuckling?
No, not necessarily. But there was probably between the sea buoy and the end of the jetty, there was probably five times that I had to totally take it out of gear.
And let it settle back in, kind of thing.
Yeah, because I was surfing down,
uh-huh.
and I didn't want to stuff it.
Yep.
You know, so you got to be really careful. And then the next that is the throttle at 4,000 RPMs going back up. Uh-huh. You know, so
because folks, that's the yeah. scariest thing. You sit there and surf down that wave, and you get on that knife edge of that boat,
right.
and you could just start feeling that boat trying to turn on you.
Yeah.
If you don't come off of it, that's a great way to barrel roll.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, because she's going to catch up to you and going to roll you on the side.
Yep. So it was not a day for the inexperienced.
Nope.
You know, because those on those days, and I'm, you know, you and I, we're so familiar with these boats that mm-hmm. we have. I know what it'll do, mm-hmm. and I understand what it'll do. You know, on that following sea like that, and you know, you can't be shy though going back up.
No.
You know, because you don't want to take one over the stern either, you know.
No, and great point, when you're looking at powering a boat.
That's right.
Like, our boats are rated for 300. Well, as you remember, a couple boats ago, mine was a 250.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, pay the extra money.
Always.
Because I'm just telling you, on these days like that, that extra 50 horsepower you had can... I'm not going to tell you means life and death, but it sure means of getting in a situation that you might not want to be involved in.
Yep. And you don't have to run the RPMs.
I never do.
No.
I never do.
No, absolutely not. All right, let's take a quick break here on the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. And when we come back, we'll dwell more into what we've been catching.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to Captain Kirk Waltz up in Mayport. I talked to him this week, and I'll give you his reports and stuff like that. Right here on the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Be right back.
You're listening to the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Who is this?
I have no idea.
Okay, yeah, okay. I was going to be impressed.
Michael, tell us so.
Yeah, if
they could guess.
Bo Diddy. I don't know.
No. Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, I was close.
You were close.
Yeah.
You were right in that neighborhood.
I guess if you're the neighborhood is just rap music, I guess.
Exactly.
Classic.
Oh, me and rap. I mean,
no, yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm not saying that I dislike it. That's not what I'm saying. I just don't know who sings.
About it.
Yeah. Can we bring Chip up? Chip,
absolutely.
You there? Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, so, hey, so are you a rapper?
No.
Unless
I'm making up songs fishing. So.
Okay.
Can you freestyle?
Yeah.
Can you freestyle about fishing
can
stuff?
Can you freestyle? Can you give us some, Chip?
No.
We're
mimicking the song, I Like Big Butts. We're like, you know, stuff to that. But other than that, nah, I'm not a rapper.
So. I can't deny it.
there's a few times I was trying to deny it, trying to get a bite.
Yeah, I can't deny it. Real quick, Chip, before we get started, give folks a little forecast here, and then we can talk about it. Tonight, southeast 10 to 15, 4 to 6, occasional 8.
Really?
Witness that tonight. Now, witness that today, yep. Friday, tomorrow, south 5 to 10, becoming 10 to 15 out of the southeast, 3 to 5, occasional 6. This is where it gets pretty. Friday night, south winds 5 to 10, 3 to 5, occasional 6. And then Saturday, 5 to 10 out of the south, southeast 2 to 4. Ooh, should be pretty. Saturday night, south, southwest 5 to 10, 2 to 4. Sunday, south winds 5 to 10, becoming southeast in the afternoon, 2 to 3. And then Monday, 10 to 15, 2 to 3. So, that's Memorial Day. Yeah, so it looks like the weekend's going to be beautiful.
Man, they got that. Folks, if you want to go, social distancing, of course. Mm-hmm. Northeast Florida Marlin Association has got their tournament going on out of Comanche Cove.
Mm-hmm.
You fish 2 days out of the three, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Man, did you see that Grand Slam?
Yeah, I did, dude.
You don't even want to know.
Do you?
It's a Paul Manns, a 61 Paul Manns.
Are you familiar with that boat, Chip? You run big
boats.
The
Grand Slam?
Yeah. He's a, legitimately a tournament-winning boat. Chip, yeah, he pulls up in this. New Smyrna. Yeah, New Smyrna. Yeah. And he pulls in today. So I was talking to the captain this morning.
Was he cool?
Oh, he's a great guy.
Okay.
Great guy. And so we were talking. He was asking me what's biting and all that. Anyhow, I mean, it's a charcoal gray hull. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, with black tinted windows.
With black tinted windows and the most gorgeous teak and mahogany all around that thing. It's 2 weeks old. He just got it. He just traded in the old Grand Slam and just picked this boat up 2 weeks ago. Guess what the price tag was?
5.2.
5.8.
Yep. You're closer. 5.9.
Wow.
Wow.
I saw it, Chip, so I had it's stunning.
Yeah, the color scheme on that boat is just, you wouldn't think it would be on a boat that big, but it's impressive.
What do you want to call it? Yeah, I would say gun barrel. I would say gun barrel, like blue, like the bluing on your gun barrel, that darker gray, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you call it that?
Dark windows.
With dark windows and just that mahogany just sets it off.
Yeah, yep.
And the teak, should I say. But, I mean, wow.
Can't hide money.
And a teak stern on the back of it?
You sure as hell can't hide it in that boat. That's
son.
No, not at all. Not at all. That's a those boys are serious fishermen too when it comes to tournaments.
Like I said, they're. I mean, they've been around the world, you know, and they're. Dude, they had four of those LP reels, and those reels are $2,500 a piece,
right?
For the electric reels for their dredges, he had four of them sitting up there on the thing.
Wow,
four.
Well, those guys are notorious for going into tournaments. Guys fish live bait, and they'll pull dredges, and they'll catch.
Yes.
You know, so many more fish than the guys that are pulling goggle eyes. It's amazing.
Well, he's only right, because they only pull four rods. They have eight rods they'll have eight different dredges out, but are only fishing four rods with hooks in them.
Because they're trying to catch a billfish.
That's it. That's all they're doing. Mm-hmm. He said they. I said, so have you caught one yet? He said, well, we were out yesterday just working the kinks out of it and stuff, and we raised one, we hooked one, and. He said, unfortunately, he said, we fought about 150 pounds, he said, and we jumped him off on our way up here. And I said, so there's no billfish scratches on that? Nope. The owner said there better not be any on it after this weekend either. He said, you keep that damn bill away from that boat. He said, there's no scratches. So anyhow, I had a fun time talking to them this morning.
Yeah.
God, just, oh my gosh. I mean, I really needed to take a shower before I walked in there, but I would love to have...
Just
walked inside of that thing and just looked at the salon and all that.
Yeah, I was cleaning fish today, Chip, and all the boys at the Ringleader.
Yep,
were down there making their mullet for the dredges and stuff. I mean, that's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
Oh yeah,
a lot of work.
Holy cow!
I was talking to Doug and them the other day about that, and I could not believe when they go to the Bahamas. Whenever they go, unfortunately, they can't go this year, but whenever they go over there for like 2 months or whatever. Right. They take over 1,000 mullet just for dredges.
All right, explain to people what a dredge is.
A dredge is a situation to where the newer kind of models, they fish a lot more like Chip does and like Leon with the big, huge like hoagie baits that are, you know, swim baits, plastic tails, grubs. And they'll have maybe 20 of those on there or whatever, and then they'll pin 4 to 8 mullet on it as well for scent and more attraction and everything else. So a dredge can go anywhere from, what, Chip, 12 baits to 48, I think. There's some dredges that are three-stage dredges.
Rig.
Yes, it's a big umbrella-looking rig.
And to let people know, this is there's no hooks.
No.
This is an attractant.
It's attractant.
Yep.
And you put your line, depending on what size fish you're fishing for, but, like, normally around here, yes, we have the marlins and all that, but they'll set a backbone mullet behind it, a skipping small, you know, Spanish mackerel behind it, horse ballyhoo, you know, and they're all rigged with circle hooks.
Yep.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand, Chip, and I know, you know, you've done it as well. You leave basically the reels in kingfish gear.
Right.
There is hardly any drag to it. I mean, so basically the whole idea is when the fish eats, it just takes off, you know, what, 100 yards, 200 yards, and then you just ease that throttle up Mm-hmm. And you come tight.
Ease a drag up.
Ease a drag up.
Yep.
Throttle.
That's how
drag.
Just let him eat it.
And just let him eat. Swim away and let him just swim away like there's no resistance to it. You know, to where the old school trolling big marlin lures and J-hooks, they got a pile on it, and 9 times out of 10 are either going to throw it or they just get bill wrapped because
the one
they come up.
I caught my life in Costa Rica. I caught on a mullet and circle hook, fed it to him, and just you know, kingfish drag, all right, set, you know.
Keep going up really easy.
Keep going up.
And going. All of a sudden, whoop, that rod comes tight when it gets in strike
position. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was unbelievable. One of the coolest things I've ever done, Chip. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking hunting, fishing, you name it. I mean, to watch that fish come up behind a dredge. And listen, we were on a 25-foot Mako, I mean, little center console with twin 70s.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't like we were chasing the fish down. They're like, oh, you got one. Good luck.
Yep. No, and just and here you got, you know, four. Well, you got definitely have at least 2 electric reels out, if not 4. And
to get the dredges up.
To get the dredges up. So it's a well-oiled machine when you get on these tournament boats, better boats, because it's not just taking Joe Blow out to go fishing. It's, I mean, there's a routine that everybody has. There's only 1 or 2 anglers, and everybody else is deck crew. I mean, that's
it. Yeah, it's finesse, precision fishing is what it is, and those guys are unreal at it. You know, when you watch those guys, the way they rig their baits, they have to be perfect. Every bait has to be perfect. I mean, they've got, you know, everybody works in perfect unison. You know, it's unreal. You know, the guys who do it that are really good at it are, you know, they're hired guns, as we used to call them. So,
I mean, well, the funny thing is, talking about the ringleader with Dougie and why does I always get his name? I forget his name. Blake.
Mm-hmm.
They each have a side. One has port, one has starboard, and whatever side the fish comes on, that's their side to deal with. Once the fish is on, then Doug or Blake will come over and clear lines or do whatever he's got to do. But when that fish comes up, there's no pandemonium. That's your side. You take care of that fish.
Right.
If the fish switches and go to the other side, well, no, that's you're done. It's his turn. So, yeah, it's you split the boat down the middle.
Everybody has a job. Kingfish tournaments. Everybody has a job.
Yep.
Brother Dave, copper tone.
Hey, Kevin, you needed a surfboard today?
Brother, let me tell you, going out that inlet, and I wasn't, you know, look, I wasn't spooked or anything like that, but I have an incredible respect for the ocean, and I was pretty excited. I caught bait in Salt Run, and you know, going down the middle, the bar to the left and the bar to the right was no joke, bro. I mean, I mean, Chip, it would jack up to all day 10 or 12.
So Costa Rica surf.
Oh, hell yeah. And then, you know, you had a west wind on it. And, you know, like I said, in the back of my mind the whole time, I'm like, I got to come back in this inlet, you know, on that outgoing tide. You know, I mean. And I've done it hundreds of times, so I knew. You know.
But it only takes one. It doesn't matter how many hundreds you come through. It just
I agree
one.
With that. I'm not saying I'm being cocky.
I'm just saying
that, you know, it's you
have to respect.
You have to respect it. You have to be careful. You
just
know?
Because you have Saturdays and Sundays off, and you think you have to go, you it's okay.
Yeah.
Do it another day.
Yep. And I don't think it's going to be anything like that this weekend.
No. But it's just that low, that daggum low, went up there and it swung. And it's now working back south again. If you look at it, it's coming in around Bermuda. That's why it's out of the northeast. A swell was out of the northeast today, and that's what I was watching. I was watching the Navy website, and it went up, brushed North Carolina just off the Outer Banks, and then turned and went northeast. Well, they were thinking it was just going to kind of die out and hit a low pressure.
Yeah.
But that low built just north of there around New Jersey or whatever, and forced it to come back south again. So that's why we're getting what we're getting for 2 days.
Oh.
Till it breaks up.
Okay. All right.
Well, it's been a weird week.
It has been, hasn't it?
One day you're a hero, the next you're a zero. I mean, it's a roller coaster. I mean, I'm like baffled sometimes. You go to one spot one day and there's nothing there. The next day you go and you just blow them out of the water. You know, it's unreal. So they're finicky. The water's been dirty too, and I can't figure out why. We haven't had any rain.
Nope.
You know, and it's filthy in some areas. You know, it's just strange. Lots of sharks, lots of catfish. You know, I mean, I'm getting really good at the catfishing. So
yeah,
got that big 6-pounder yesterday. So
yeah, I saw the picture of that one. That was a nice
one. But,
the interesting thing is you say that. You know, running down the beach yesterday, my first thought was, okay, the water's just so clear that the pogies just aren't in it. Well, it wasn't. Yeah, it was
pogie water.
It was dingy, mm-hmm. ucky, mm-hmm. you know, and when I started going offshore, I thought, okay, you know, 3-4 miles, and it really just never did. It was just kind of, eh. And,
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, there was a lot of guys kink fishing yesterday and today, and they're having to pull ballyhoo, you know, because uh-huh. there's no live bait. And I mean, some of them aren't getting no strikes. And then yesterday I fished a full day. I fished 7:30 to 2:30. And in that time I hit 7 spots.
Damn, you almost inshore fished.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hit 7 spots and had a 6-inch mullet, beautiful mullet, out behind the boat on a flat line all day.
And nothing looked at it?
Never. Never.
Wow.
I did not have a strike on a flat line yesterday.
Wow.
So, oof. Yeah. Oof. Ruh-roh, Reggie.
Ruh-roh, Reggie.
Yeah.
I understand it. I mean, Tuesday I fished 5 hours. We caught one jack.
Oh my god!
Yeah, he called me on that day, and I said,
"I mean, we were throwing artificials. We were doing, you know, throwing bait. We were in the area. We were watching snook blow up, you know, knocking baits out of the water, and they just wouldn't touch anything we had to throw at them. And I was just flabbergasted. And I think Leon had one red and one Spanish that day, you know. And then
Tuesday.
And then Wednesday, we both go out and just absolutely, you know, light the water on fire. I mean, it was crazy,
yep.
You know, and, but, you know, it's in the water temperature, you know, our water temperature's been fluctuating by sometimes 4 and 5 degrees really quick. And, yesterday was 82.6 where I was fishing. And, you know, it's just been strange. And then, you know, tomorrow I have a full day charter. I'm going to go bull red fishing with a gentleman that's coming out of North Carolina, and we're doing a full day, and we're gonna bounce around and see what we can do, which will be fun. He's a lot of fun to fish with, so see if I can catch some bulls tomorrow and, you know, run the river and do something different, you know, get up there. I got a box full of crabs, and you know, so well, do you guys get on a jetty bite, Scotty?
Yeah, here's a story on that one. Like what you were saying, Tuesday was an off day for I don't think I cleaned 3 fish. Okay.
I had a great day on Tuesday.
And then.
But I fished early.
But you fished early. And I fished the tide. I fished, I don't know what it was, 10 to 2 or something.
Right.
And then yesterday, same kind of thing, 10 to 2. I caught 8 really nice flounders yesterday. Had a couple reds. Had a couple trout. Really good day, I thought. And so I went, okay, that was, like you said, Chip, the water was dingy and dirty on that low outgoing. And I went, you know what? I'm going to just spice up life.
Oh, you outsmarted yourself.
I outsmarted myself. I tried to think out of the box like you tell me all the time. So anyhow, I had Eric Montgomery this morning, just me and him, and I went, two good fishermen. I'm going to fish the high outgoing because it's going to be clean. And the amount of flounders I caught, you know, where I did relatively well, I figured, high tide, clean water. I'm going to pitch docks in the morning with mud minnows, and we're going to put a lesson on these things.
And what'd you catch?
Not a damn thing.
Chip, we got to run.
All right, guys. Peace.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Great job as usual. 641-1010, 641-1010. Give us a call right here on the Moat Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Beautiful being a charter captain.
Especially when you got eyes looking at you.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Of course, you can listen to Kevin and myself every Thursday from 7 to 8 here on 1010XL.
Yeah, and then you will be on the Nimnik Outdoor Show this Saturday. Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, Mr. Loggeman is taking the weekend off.
Coming up there to hang out with you boys.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's fun up there.
So they can listen to us for 3 hours. You
Damn,
and I and Captain
me
Kirk.
For 3 hours?
Yeah.
My wife doesn't like it listening more than an hour.
Okay. I was going to say 5 minutes.
Yeah, more than 5 minutes. I was just giving her a little.
What was our question?
We had a caller off the air.
Yep.
Okay, which is a great question.
Yep.
Wanted to know, his name was Chris, wanted to know what a thermocline was.
Okay.
He has heard us talking about it more times than ever. Mm-hmm. What is one? What do you look for? How do you look for it? How does, you know, the ins and outs of a thermocline.
Okay, yeah. First off is...
Go ahead, Michael.
He just really wanted to know how it's impacting it. He mentioned that you guys were talking about the dirty fish, dirty waters out there, and just how it's really impacting it.
Okay. First off, it's really an upwelling.
Correct.
When you talk to Dr. Quentin White from JU, it's an upwelling. And now, I think there's probably two different kinds of thermoclines. Mm-hmm. You know, because simply for the fact that there's a thermocline, an upwelling of surface temperature.
Right.
Of surface temperature.
Right.
Okay, so during, and here's what happens. During the summertime, when you have an excess of, I'm going to say, 7 to 10 days of southwest winds, just think about this. It's blowing
The
warm water off of the surface and the upwelling, the cold water from the bottom comes to the top. So literally your water temperature, and it's the weirdest thing, folks, it'll be 100 degrees every day.
Uh-huh.
I mean 100 degrees. And that water temperature will be in the 60s and low 70s, where normally it's, at that point in time, it's 83.
Top and probably 70, 75 throughout the water column?
Right. So that's the thermocline upwelling that we normally see.
Right.
Now, the other one, thermocline upwelling that we see, is on the bottom.
Yep.
And you can literally see it on your bottom recorder. Well, okay, so now your surface temperature says 84. You go over a spot that you like to fish, and you look down and you see nothing. You're like, "What?
This ain't marked up." Yeah, what's up?
What the heck? So you go to bottom fishing, and you pull up your sinker, and it's like ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thermocline. And how does it affect fish? It all affects fish.
Yep.
But
it's a pressure.
The one thing that we have learned over the years, and I mean really all of us have big time learned, because we have a thermocline, an upwelling each year, and we've had them to the point to where sometimes they're a month long in July, and we've learned that there's advantages.
There is.
There's advantages of fishing these, you know, where, you know, for years, we were like, oh my God.
What are we going to do?
But now we've learned to find the edges of these upwellings.
And you don't pull your downrigger. You keep everything up top.
That's right. You keep
your cobia. All of a sudden, you'll see one day array of cobias.
And you change species.
Mm-hmm.
You change species because I go back to flounder fishing at that time. I love to flounder fish offshore during a thermocline.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the rays will show back
up. Yes, sir.
Manta rays will show back up on the beach.
Yep.
The cobia will show up in droves, you know. So, you know, yes, sometimes is the kingfishing back off? But, you know, again, all you got to do is find that edge offshore, and you'll find the kingfish again.
And it'll vary. If you turn your gain way up, say you're bottom fishing, wherever. And, folks, it could stop at any point in time, just like you were saying, fish the edges. I mean, you could be in 100 foot of water and go, man, I was here last weekend and I caught my limit of beeliners in 15 minutes.
Right.
And all of a sudden you don't. Or you catch one or two and they're just so vibrant red. That's another way of telling. I mean, just pigment will change according to their
and how they fight.
And how they fight.
Yep.
Dead for a little while.
Yep.
And then it'll come up in that water column and all of a sudden it's wow. And up comes a little 12-inch beeline and you go, wow, he just pulled like a 5-pound fish. If you turn your gain way up, you can actually mark a straight line on your bottom machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll show you the zone of where that thermocline is.
Yep.
And for us, we're trolling. Our biggest thing is when the thermocline gets out there, all of a sudden we catch those Atlantic sharp nose. It doesn't matter if your downrigger's down 10 feet or down 100 foot.
We call them cold water sharks.
Cold water sharks.
Yep.
So that's why
caught
we're
one
saying.
Today.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
There was one out there because somebody was talking. They marked it on the bottom machine yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you said the water rolled over today.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
But, yeah, so we'll stop trolling. We'll pull everything up top, and it is. It's amazing how more active it is. And, as well, mark it if you think there's one. Mark it, and then pull your downrigger up like 10 feet above what you figure that line is, and you'll go right back to catching.
So you get away from the sharks.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Boy, there's some times last year, dude, I had like 15 on Bahama flat lines, and I'm going, this ain't good.
No, it's not good
at all.
And
you just see them fighting over it back and forth. And it's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And they just big enough that just – and you can't – I mean, I'm sorry, but we're trolling trebles, and they're a crazy little creature. I mean, those sharks are not easy to hold on to and hang on to.
Oh, I know. They'll
and
they'll bite
I'm sorry.
You.
I mean, I cut them off as close as I can get, but I am – I don't know. I finally got a hook in my hand last year, and that was one I hadn't had in a long time.
No.
I hate them.
I had a really cool trip yesterday. Mike and Gavin, and Gavin's 10.
He was cool.
Gavin's trip. They're cousins, all right? And I had to cancel on last Tuesday because it was blowing so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone canceled on me yesterday, so they're staying down there south of St. Augustine. I think the ocean's going to be pretty. Let's go. Gavin had never caught a cobia before, you know. So, man, just a huge thank you to Captain Robert Holmquist for calling me yesterday morning. He went out before I did, and he said, look, there's, you know, I haven't heard of anybody saying anything there's about being bait on the beach. He said, but there's a ton of threadfin herrings, threadfins, in Salt Run. And I went, of course. I'm
hello.
Yeah. So I went in there. Literally, I threw the net 3 or 4 times. Probably had 100 baits, you know. Now, little guys, bottom fish
yeah,
baits.
Yeah, they're three inches long.
These are not trolling baits,
nope.
You know. So I went to my first spot because I went way north, running the beach, just because, you know. First off, it was blowing out of the west pretty good yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So I said, all right, guys, we're going to pop offshore here. We're going to go about 6 miles. First spot, you know, little thread fence. And it's motor, the trolling motor's on 9.
Oh, it worked yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, you had to work the trolling motor compared to today?
Yeah. Oh, the first stop with that wind blowing out of the west?
Yeah.
And literally, and I'm going, God almighty, you know, that can't, because that's a full day. I can't do that all day.
We're going to be dead in 3 hours.
Yeah, but anyway, they drop down, and both of them double up immediately. I went, And this is one of my cool little spots. You know, I catch a lot of flounder. I catch a few cobia. They come up, both of them, about 2-pound snapper. And I went, damn, I hardly ever catch snapper on this spot, you know. And then caught 4 or 5 more immediately, you know. And then both of them hooked up with whiskers. The Goliath grouper that's down there, you know. And by the way, I'm going to catch that bastard. I need you to tie me a rig.
Okay. We're going to crimp the heck out of it. About 400-pound test.
Yep.
We need just a 50. We need to go see Johnny and get one big 50-wad.
Okay. I can't catch him on a 113H?
Hell no.
Am I allowed to say bastard? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. See, I didn't do that one. You did that one.
Yeah. So... I know. But anyway, there's two Goliath groupers on this spot.
Okay.
And
it'd be fun to turn one.
Yeah, it would be.
I mean, 12-watt hook, half a bonita.
Yep.
Done.
Okay. Well, all right.
400-pound cave. I mean,
I've got to have a 50-wide.
You got to have something to put some pressure on that fish. You don't know how big he is.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. I mean, if he's 150 pounds, think about it. That's a big fish. He's got a tail as wide as you are.
The one thing that I don't have is a rod.
I don't have
a rod.
No, you're going to have to get a 50-wide bent butt from them because you're going to keep it in a rod holder.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
You're crank like hell.
Anyway, after Hook and Whiskers, and the reason I call him Whiskers is because
he's got to.
He's got to have
so
many of my rigs.
Friend Tiger Shark that's down there in the south end.
Yeah. Hit two more spots. Got better. Caught a short cobia. Caught a couple lanes.
Did you?
Yep. Caught a couple lanes.
Good ones?
Oh,
two pounders?
13, 14 inches.
Okay.
You know, so.
Boy, they eat so good, too.
Yep. And then caught a bunch of sea bass.
Okay.
No legals. Typical.
Where did they go?
I don't know, buddy. I don't know. But anyway, end of the day. We're done.
Okay.
We're done. Going in.
Okay.
And Gavin's, they're all happy. We've had a great, dude. Now we went through 100 baits. I mean, literally. And we're coming in. We're going past the weather buoy offshore. And Gavin's like, hey. He said, I had two mullet left, 6-inch mullet. He said, hey, can I throw a bait at that buoy right there? I'm like,
Knock yourself out.
Absolutely. You know, so I grabbed a spinning rod with a cage of thunder on it. He went back there, hooked up that mullet. And we got close to the weather buoy, and he throws it up there. And like three remoras just come flying out, right? And then all of a sudden, I look behind him, and here comes Mr. Cobia. And
I'm like,
you got to be kidding me, right? I'm like, there's no way I'm going to, you know, this kid's never caught a, and he's really good fisherman. Like, really good. I mean, handled himself on the boat all day. I never touched a thing.
Really?
When he broke rigs off, I handed him a new rig.
Really?
This kid pours his own molds. And he pours his own plastics. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So and sells them.
Wow.
Yeah. Goes out there in front of his house and sell lemonade. He sells plastic.
Worms. Yeah, here.
50 cents each.
That's so cool.
Awesome. So anyway, he throws it up there. The cobia comes out. And he had a bright green Cajun Thunder, you know, with, 2 feet of leader.
Yeah.
And that mullet, when he saw the cobia coming, well, the mullet starts coming back to the boat at Mach 10. Well, the Cajun Thunder's going click, 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 click. And that cobia just comes up and it swallows it.
Like, really?
Swallowed it. Swallowed the Cajun Thunder. It wasn't paying any attention to
it. Didn't see that bait 2 feet behind.
No,
we're going after the Cajun Thunder.
He ate the Cajun Thunder. So now he's got him on, right?
And the ball is trailing about mid body. I can just picture that.
Yes, yeah. So I'm like, you gotta pull the Cajun Thunder out of his mouth, Gavin. So he snatches it. Cajun Thunder comes out. And the cobia.
The mullet skips across top of the water.
The mullet skips right. Well, here comes the mullet going sideways again. Well, the cork's behind him, and he just smokes the cork again. Like, you've got to present the mullet,
not
the cork. So he pulls it away from the cobia again. And finally, the cobia sees the mullet, goes over there and eats it. Anyway, he fights it for 10, 15 minutes, and we gaffed the fish, and that's his first cobia ever. But and we came home. Yeah, but what a great way to end the day, you know. All day, he's like, man, I want to catch cobia. And it was his idea. He's like, hey, you know, I'm going by.
You're going by.
He's like, can I throw a mullet up there by that? And I'm like, sure.
All right. So how do we put hooks in a Cajun Thunder, a Captain's Choice tackle, and make it a cobia lure?
No. But, he was way more interested
In that popping cork,
really? Than that mullet. Once he finally saw the mullet, then he ate it. But still,
to power down on a and not to let go of it.
Dude, he didn't let go of it twice. He had to pull it out of his mouth. That's
funny. Why can't I find fish that are easy like that?
I don't know. 641-1010, 641-1010. Give us a call.
That's a great story.
It was a great story, wasn't it? Like, Mo
he
South
was a hell of a fisherman.
Dude is. Kid's
I
good,
talked to
man.
Him that morning.
He's got it.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, he's cool. Really cool kid. Love taking kids like that fishing. Love taking kids fishing.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, yeah,
kids?
Yeah.
I love them.
But well, no, it's great. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
We'll be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. A couple things.
Go ahead.
I talked to our good buddy Doug Geis on the ringleader.
Yeah.
They had a really good day yesterday. A sail. A wahoo.
Tunas.
And 10 mahis. Yep, and then... just got a picture, I mean, literally just got a picture from my good buddy James Schulte. And
we got mahi coming.
I mean, oh my gosh.
I don't know what they're going to do with all that. That was an impressive day.
So, I literally, folks, I can't count all these right now. But they got 30 mahi at least and some black fins. Holy cow.
Yep.
So, it's wide open right now.
Uh-huh. With the tournament going on this weekend, like I said, if you got nothing to do, boats will be in between 5 and 7.
And Friday, it looks Saturday, like Sunday. The center consoles, the bigger ones.
There's a meat division, too. There's a regular billfish division, as well as there's a meat division to it now. They used to only do billfish.
Right.
And now they have a meat division. So, folks, you'll see fish coming to the dock, whether wahoos, tunas.
Well, my point is that obviously the dolphin fishing is very good.
Oh, I would think so. That's a pretty good day right there.
Yeah, pretty good day.
God, I remember those days. And God, you clean fish for like 2.5
hours. It's that's just crazy to try to think.
Look at that.
The stack of meat.
Jeez.
But that's some good eating right there.
Maybe we could talk Schulte into a couple of them there.
I don't know. Anyway, it's going to be a good weekend.
It is.
Yeah. The only thing that we got to hope for is for bait to show up.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing.
And if you're in a little boat, tomorrow's going to be a little sketchy. So
yeah,
I'd probably not go.
I canceled tomorrow. I mean, after kind of what I saw today, and they're calling for it to be bigger tomorrow.
Yep.
If I had different tides, well, I would. I would. If I had a morning tide, I got granddaughter and daughter coming in tomorrow afternoon.
That's going to be so cool, dude. Yeah, I can't wait to hear from them.
I hadn't seen them for 5 months, so we're looking forward to that. We're picking them up at the airport at 3. And so, anyway, look forward to having you on the Nimnik Outdoor Show on Saturday.
Happy to be there.
Yep, we'll be there from 7 to 10. It's going to be fun.
We're going to have a good time.
You're going to be fun. Folks, have a great weekend of fishing. Like I said, looks like the weather's going to be absolutely beautiful. There's, you know, fishing's good. Mm-hmm. Just got to find bait.
Yep, that's it.
Biggest thing. Talk to y'all later. See ya.